Blog Talk Radio.
Kingdom Church of the Firstborn. This is Pernell Hewing coming to you from Whitewater, Wisconsin, and I'm so grateful to hear Dr. Derek open up the airways for us with Behold Your God. As he came on tonight, I was sensing that I have a listener who was wondering, when am I going to change that tune and play something else? And that listener probably can think of a number of openings that God could use for this show. But I want to tell you, God is so good. There is a reason why we use have Dr. Derek open with Behold Your God, because it is important for us to behold your God. It's important now because so often we don't behold God. We behold situations and things about God, and we know things about him, and we would just rather something new and different. But the Lord is saying, I'm calling people to behold the God of the universe, the God of heaven, the God of earth, and that God that is so in our lives today, that if we would just behold him, who he is, what he is, and what he does, our lives would change. And not only that, and we pray, Behold Your God, as we behold God and we behold who he is, and even if it's just in our heart, we behold the wonder of wonders, who is Jesus Christ, God Almighty, who came to the earth and walked the earth and was crucified and buried and rose again, that we all may have a right to the tree of life. We behold him and all that he did and all that he is and all that he wants us to be. If we behold that in our heart, then the enemies would be scattered around us, would be scattered. And then as the enemies are scattered, he will speak peace to his people. And that peace means that we are in relationship with him. We are on the place, on the redemption ground. We stand on redemption ground, redeemed out of the hands of the enemy, so redeemed that he has no claim on us. You know, when price is paid to redeem something, to redeem someone, or to redeem an object, that object belongs no longer to the one that was holding it, but that object is now belongs to the one who has redeemed it. And so we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and we are, as we behold our God, we are redeemed. As we behold the fact that he redeemed us out of the hands of the enemy by his blood that was shed for us, as we behold our God, then the enemy will be scattered, because he knows that that redemption has caused us to be set free from the bondages of the enemy and from the clutches of the enemy, and we can now be at peace with God. He will speak peace to us and bring us back in relationship with him, and the enemy cannot interfere with anything that our God does, because he has redeemed us by his blood. And so behold your God. We behold our God. And the enemy, let the enemy Let the enemy be scattered as we behold him. Let God arise as we behold him. Let the enemies be scattered, and our God will speak peace to his people, that we are now back in relationship, that where the enemy has held us captive, we are no longer captive to him, and now we are back in the hands of the living God, where we will have peace with God. Amen. We believe that those of you that are listening will grasp it, that God is calling us to behold him, and his promise to us is as we behold him, that the enemies will be scattered in our lives, and that as God arises and the enemies are scattered, then God can come and speak peace to his people. We thank Dr. Derek for that. And tonight we're going to open our show. We have been walking through the book of Matthew. We started out in Matthew 10 on Sunday evening. We're with you every Sunday and every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We're going to continue with the book of Matthew, continue with the Word of God. But let's just pause for a moment and let Dr. Derek David Kuhn plead the blood over us, plead the blood. He said, behold, our God, that the enemies be scattered, and God will speak peace to us. But let him go further tonight and plead the blood as we open up. We open the way for him to come back.
Sound of heaven, the sound of Passover, the sound of Pentecost, the sound of God has been given to his people. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven. The sound of heaven came, the sound of the Lord came, the sound of Jesus came, the sound of the glorified one, the incarnate God. A seat at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now he's exalted in glory and in honor and in power. And that sound came upon his people. It's the sound of the Lord.
Come on.
It's a priestly sound, a prophetic sound. It's a kingly sound. It's the authority of God. The power of God came upon the people of God. The pleading of the blood, the priestly ministry of Jesus was given to the people of God. Oh, the pleading of the blood. Yes, the pleading of the blood. And they all spoke as the Spirit gave them utterance. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. We open our hearts. We wait upon you. Lord, we wait upon you. We plead your blood. Your cleansing blood, life-giving blood of the Lamb. We plead your blood, Messiah's blood, life-giving blood of the Lamb. We plead it, plead it. it. It is holy, pure, so undefiled. Precious blood of God's sacrifice, forever it will speak for me. Forever it prevails for me. We plead your blood, your cleansing blood, life-giving blood of the Lamb. We plead your blood, Messiah's blood, life-giving blood of the Lamb. Atoning blood that took our sins away once for all. So holy, pure, and undefiled. The precious blood, precious blood, precious blood, precious blood, precious blood of God's sacrifice, forever it will speak for me. And forever prevails for me.
And we're so grateful that that precious blood will speak for me and it will speak for you. Forever it will prevail for you. I just love to hear Dr. Derek bring us those words as he said, Jesus Christ in his priestly ministry, he prepared a way that we can come into the place where God is. Well, we welcome you again to the Universal Kingdom Church of the Firstborn, moving higher, digging deeper, and bringing you a message from Matthew. As one follows Jesus closely, he calls that one to service in the kingdom. And so we're going to start looking at that tonight, going back to Matthew 10, just being blessed by the words of the Bible. I hope you're being blessed also as we walk through these precious words of written for us for today. As we read the words from Matthew, it is like Jesus Christ's boots on the ground to us. He has come to this place now where he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he comes to bring us the kingdom of heaven on earth as it is in heaven. And he starts off in the first part of Matthew wanting us to know that he's coming into our heart, and he's giving us clear directions as to how to walk out the word of God and make it become living flesh to us. And so we're up to chapter 10. Each time I come, I would love to go back to the beginning and walk through up to where we are, because each one hang on the tale of the other one just before, and we get the fullness. But let's look at chapter 10. I am going to review briefly where we were on Sunday evening. We started with verse 1. I'm not going to go into it all together. If you were not with me on Sunday, you can always pull that one up out of the archives. But let me just review briefly where we were. I want to go back to the last two verses in chapter 9, because I think it catapults us into chapter 10. Then says he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, and the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And I believe he's speaking to us clearly today that the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. We have many people born again. We have many people who want to do their thing and have their own work going and do that. But the last verse there, verse 38, reads, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You see, he has a harvest. Oftentimes we labor for the Lord, we think, but we're laboring for a harvest that the Lord has not prepared. And so as we minister to the people that the Lord has not prepared for his harvest, they may say that they want God, but they may just want what they want of God. But there's a harvest that the Lord is bringing forth that he knows. You know, when you harvest a feast of fruit, when you harvest a fruit, there's a lot of fruit out there. Some may be green, some may be mushy, some may be past harvesting because they have probably been on the vine too long. But when you send out, if someone hires you to go out and harvest the fruit, when you harvest, you're not going to harvest the ones that's green because it's not ready to be harvested. You're not going to harvest the one that probably has been on the vine too long that they're not any good anymore. But when you bring in the fruit to the one who sent you out that hired you to bring in a harvest, you're going to bring in the ones that they can use for the purpose that they planted the fruit for. And we need to think about that when we begin to evangelize and bring people in. But listen, this scripture was so strategic. It said, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Okay? That means that you need to pray to the one who is ready to harvest, okay? Everyone who says that I want the Lord, I want this of the Lord knows them better than you do. The Lord knows that that person may be just wanting a better life on earth or wanted to get out of something, but not really want to be one he has harvested for his purpose. If you send someone to a tomato patch and half the tomatoes are green, some hadn't even grown, and some is mushy, some is no good, and someone hire you to bring them in, the Lord of that harvest want tomatoes that one can use for the purpose tomatoes he wants them harvest. So that's why the Lord is saying stop right here in our face telling us that there is a harvest out there. We don't even know the harvest that he sees because the harvest he sees may not look like the harvest that we are used to that we want. So he's asking us to a very strategic direction. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest. So we need to stop there and take that as a commandment, an assignment from the Lord to pray to the Lord, who is the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. For example, if he said, someone hire you and say, I want you to harvest tomatoes, but in that patch over there, those tomatoes are old, they're stale, they're falling off the vine, they're not anything new, they won't, but it's not the harvest that the one has been called to go into. The Lord of the harvest, the field that the one is wanting you to go harvest, that one knows exactly what he's asking for. He's looking for ripe tomatoes that he can then use for whatever he wants it for. So let us then take this very seriously, that there is a harvest out there, and it's very plenteous. We don't know what it looks like. We don't know where it is, but we need to stop and pray pray for laborers. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Then he brings us into chapter 10, and chapter 10 gives an answer right away. Listen to what he does. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. Now the names of the 12 apostles, and as I explained on Sunday night, the first chapter called them apostles. The first verse calls them apostles. The second verse calls them the first verse calls them disciples. The second verse calls them apostles. And of course, if you see the same thing written in many of the Gospels, but they all join together. You have to have read. You can read over in Luke, the sixth chapter, that when Jesus was getting ready for to bring forth, to send forth his disciples, they were disciples, they had been with him for quite some time, and they had literally had been the ones that he had called and say, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. But we also see over in the sixth chapter of Luke, and I want to go there because it's so key to what he said about pray ye the Lord of the harvest. And it came to pass after those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Now, we mentioned on Sunday night that apostles are those that are sent to by God to do something. The disciples are learners. And so they had been with him, and they were disciples. So the first verse in 10 says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, these are the ones he had taught, these are the ones he had trained, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness. Now, they had been with him. They had seen him heal the sick. And so, but look in chapter 6 of Luke, he didn't just send them anywhere. He followed what he said in the last verses here. He said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. There were a multitude that followed Jesus, but there were just a few that stayed with him, and they were disciples that he had trained, you see. So that's why he said, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. The laborers are the ones that God has chosen. That's why in Luke, in the sixth chapter, and verse number 12 and 13, he went out to pray. He was praying to the Lord of the harvest. He was praying to the one who sent him. He didn't just choose that there's a multitude following me, so I will just choose one of these because they're following me and I believe they want the message and they want what I have. No, he chose the 12 that he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they were with him. They were trained, and he had called them. They had been learners of him, and learners mean that they didn't just hear what he was saying. They took it in, and they took it in as though it was their message to them directly. That is why I think the Lord is saying to us now that the message that we're getting from Matthew is that Jesus is like boots on the ground to us. If you take it serious, you will then step into it, and you will enter into it. Many people will come and hear a message, and I can give you practical examples of it, and it's just another message to them. Others will come and hear that message, and it's a message that they want, that they're looking to make that message their message, and it becomes real to them. So Jesus was given here in Matthew, and he had done the example in chapter 6 of Luke. First, they were followers of him, and they were learners. But before he would send them to and name them apostles, he had to pray to the Father who had sent him, who was the Father of the harvest for the earth. So he prayed. He goes into the mountain, and he continued all night in prayer. That's verse 12 of Luke 6. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles, and then he began to list them. And if you go back, we'll see where each one of them had a special place of learning at his feet, and it was mentioned in the earlier chapters. Okay, so then he tells us that in the last two verses of chapter 9. Then in chapter 10, he calls them to him. He had already looked at the harvest out there because he saw the harvest when he spoke to the multitude, you see. He'd already looked at the harvest, and therefore he went to the Lord of the harvest, who was his Father, and then he came back and he sent forth the laborers into his harvest. Now let's watch what he does with that. After he named them, and from verse 2 on down to 5, you'll see where he named the ones to go. But he said he's sending them into the harvest. He's not just sending them out to do something because there's a need. There are hundreds of needs. All the multitude that followed them had a need. Remember, he healed all sickness and all disease. He could have sent them right into that multitude and said, go in there and heal everybody, okay, or heal whoever you see. But he's very strategic because he's the Lord of the harvest, and we need to consult the Lord of the harvest, and we need to choose that if we're going to choose to be the one to have authority to release people into their calling, that he has given us the authority. Then we consult the Lord of the harvest because he knows the hearts of the people. Now, if we read on in 10, we're going to see a very good example of that. First of all, in verse number 5, he tells them exactly where to go. He didn't say just go out there and minister healing to those that need healing. He said, go not. He told where not to go. Go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not. Now, he's given them very strategic directions, all right? So if someone calls, if you release someone to do something, then you're going to tell them what to do. I gave the example the other night of someone asking me, would you cover me for to do this, and was using one of my books, and I said, good, I would love to do it. Would you do this, and so that we can see, you know, what the Lord is saying to you? And they wrote me back and said, well, God didn't tell me to do it that way. He just told me to do it this way. I want you to cover me. Well, if you can't, if God is the Lord of the harvest, or if he's given you something to do, someone into doing it, they should be taking out the message that you have been sent to the earth to do. Jesus was sent to the earth for a purpose, but he goes to his Father, and he asks his Father what to do with the ones that were following him, and then the Father gives him the ones to call. Now he goes back and gives them directions. His directions are, don't go here. Then in verse number 7, it says, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Not only does he tell them where not to go, and that's why when people are committed to you or submitted to you, they need to submit it to you so that you can tell them what to do rather than being submitted enough so that they can do their own thing. I still believe this with all of my heart, that many are called but few are chosen. But when the Lord calls someone and establishes that one in the earth to release an apostolic message to open the way for the king to come to do something that he has trained this person to bring people into, that means when that one is released, they're released to carry that message. I remember I had a very good example of that early in my the beginning of my ministry. We spent quite a number of days on the campus of a woman that was starting her ministry in Chattanooga, Tennessee, Kay Arthur. And she had a very special ministry, and I saw so much. And one of the things that I was fascinated by, it was the power of covenant. And she'd done quite a bit of work on covenant. And having been a teacher myself and having written a lot of books, I thought, I can teach this. So I began to pull some lessons together, and the Lord stopped me. And he said, you can't do that. And I said, but Lord, I know I can do this. He said, I invested and imparted to Kay Arthur my truth and my spirit and my power on covenant. Now, if you want to use her material, you have to take time, get into the material, and you have to invest time to pick up the spirit that I invest in her. You can't do it by knowledge. And immediately after he said that, I took my group, and we spent 14 days on her campus. We used her material. We went there. We studied with her. And covenant becomes so much a part of my life until when we started our ministry, every book in my house has something about covenant. And what it taught me is that you can learn others' materials and you can try to use it. But you need the impartation. You need more than just to pick up. You do it by knowledge. But they did it by sitting in the presence of the Lord. And God didn't give them just knowledge. He gave them an impartation of the Spirit to release that upon the people. And the people are to take that and establish that in the earth. I'm sure I'm not the only one that has found God calling people into covenant. And it wasn't a calling by a knowledge of the word, but by the impartation of the spirit, a spirit that opened the way for people to come into covenant upon one's presentation to them about covenant, because it was more than the letter of the law. It was the spirit of the law. I'm not sure I'm explaining that well, but I learned it. And Jesus has given us a good example. First of all, the disciples were his learners. They were at his feet. They didn't just learn these things because they saw him casting out devil and they saw him ministering healing. They stood and stayed with him until they received his impartation. even the impartation of the Spirit that God had put upon him when he came down from the portals of glory to the harvest that was on the earth that God wanted to bring in. And so as they were learners of his, and as they followed him, and I'm sure part of that following was an obedience to him and a submission to him, then God began to say, they are the ones that I want to send into my harvest. But I have to go to the Father to really know that they're the ones to go into the harvest. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into his harvest. Now, that's a message for us. It's for me and for anyone who has been given the authority to release people into a spiritual realm, into a spiritual anointing, such as pastor, such as apostle or prophet. We've been given the authority to commission people for the king, for kingdom work, that you don't just do it by relationship, you don't just do it by knowledge, you don't just do it because people seem to have an ability, you do it because you go to the Lord of the harvest and you pray for the Lord of the harvest to tell you who to send. And once God had released that, he made them apostles, which means that he can now send them until, while they were still learning, he wasn't going to send them. But then he goes to the Father and he prays to the Father all night long, and then the Father then releases him to send them, and then he named them apostles, because in that title, being sent by God, there is power. There's power not because they decided to go out and give themselves the name of apostles, but they decided that, I mean, they had to wait for the Lord of the harvest to tell them, to release them. I remember, I always like to give personal examples. I was very much a part of Barbara Yoder's ministry, Breakthrough Ministry, and she's a very powerful woman of God, and I love her. She's really one of the people that I really admire and believe that God has sent her for a time like this. And so we spent a lot of time with her and a lot of time in training in her ministry. And there was a time when she and I talked, and she said to me, went down to spend some days with her, and she said to me, she said, you know, with what the Lord has given you, there are many people that got special calling. We need to call them together, and we need to establish them so they can go out and do some kingdom work. And I agreed with her, and for years we didn't talk about it anymore. And then one weekend when I was there, and she said to me, I think it's time for us to commission you to do the work of the kingdom. And of course I was in agreement with it, because that is my call. It's kingdom work, it's kingdom intercession. And so we had about 50 people in training up until that time. But that morning, I never forget, she said, well, would you stay on Sunday so we can do the commissioning? And she and my very favorite apostle, John Kelly, if you don't know him, such a powerful man of God, and we'd had a relationship. And so she said, I want to do it while Apostle Kelly is here, because it's a very special anointing I want to release unto you all. And so there were four of us, and she was at that time, for the first time, she said, the Lord she gave me this commissioning to be the Secretary of State of the Kingdom of Heaven, and John Kelly added to the kingdom and to the kingdom church. And so with that release, I had been carrying around in my briefcase for about 5 years trying to finish my book, my kingdom book from Shiloh, but I just couldn't seem to finish it. Immediately after that anointing and after that release from her, and having been under her with the Breakthrough Network, the book came together in less than a month, and from that day on, I walk in that anointing. I can tell it when I walk into a place. If there's a kingdom ministry, the Lord began to move me in that direction. If someone is wanting kingdom or working for kingdom, I can see it so clear as if I'm walking in it. Because at that time, not only was she releasing me in it, she had the power to release upon me that anointing to step into that place. If someone releases you into an apostolic calling, it means that God has given them that authority. But now, one who has that authority must always go to the Lord of the harvest to see if that person is the one to release. And some people get upset with you because you don't release them, because the releasing is into, let's look at how Jesus did it. Not only did he tell them not to go, but he told them what to preach, and he told them what to say. Now, not only that, let's go in and see what else he did. He said, not only are you going to preach, I want you to heal the sick. I want you to cleanse the leper. I want you to raise the dead. I want you to cast out devils. And listen to this last part. Freely ye have received, freely give. That means that what he was giving them to do, they had received the anointing and they had received the power from him as they were the disciples under him, okay? So he was not just telling them to go out and do what you have learned, what you have seen me do. But you received more than that. You have received the impartation of the power God has given me. My Father has given me because, and I know that you have it because I went to the Father. He went to the Father and he prayed all night long. So when he released this upon them, there was not just a title of apostles. You see, he called his disciples. They were learners. Then he called the one's name apostles. And they had both been learning of him. But when they were sent, he had received the power and the word from his Father to release the power upon them to do the apostolic work. Evidently, they'd followed him enough that the Father knew that they would be obedient, that when he said, don't go there and don't go there, there would be something, oh, some over there need healing. I'm going to go over there and pray. Or someone will come and say, would you come over here and pray for us? No, the Father said, don't go there. And then when he tells them what to preach, they heard this message by someone else who sounds like a good message and it must be from God. Instead of preaching what he tells them to preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is hand, they began to build their lessons and their teaching on some other message that's a good message, but it's not a God's message because it wasn't sent, but they weren't sent to preach that, you see. And so that's why the power was in it for them to do what God was saying. Now, something else he told them, because you see, once you are sent by God, once the one who sends you have prayed it through that God released from heaven the power for them to step into that anointing that you're releasing them into, I can't tell you the power and the number of anointings that come with the mantle. When Barbara Yoda spoke that into my life, and when John Kelly added that, it was not that I was just stepping into that. It was that I had been under tutoring and training and preparation, and God saw fit because she said, today we're going to do it. And we had been there for probably a few years, not knowing why we were there. But you see, what often people come to get is to learn what one is doing so they can add it to their ministry. And they add it in the letter, but not in the power of it, because the power of it says you are going to do what this is sent to do. I mentioned Pastor Leo on last Saturday, Sunday evening, I was talking when the Lord said to me that when I was wondering, I'm looking everywhere for a pastor to stand with me, and I'm definitely looking for a man, and he said, you got one standing beside you, and I said, nah, you got to be kidding, wasn't anything wrong with her, because I just felt that God, I wanted a man. But the Lord knew that she had an impartation, and she received that impartation by staying with me, by listening to me, by obeying what she knew, the ways of the ministry that God had established in the sanctuary. She did not stray from it, picking up all these things from everybody trying to add to it, because had she added five things to it, she would be out there in 10 minutes. Because God didn't send there to add to. He sent there to impart to. And so that's what Jesus was teaching in this lesson. And he taught it so well. He said, and so when he told them what they were going to do, because they had been freely given that. They had been given it by God himself. And he was supposed to release it upon them. And since it was free, freely you have received, freely give it. Then the next thing he says is so powerful, and every word is got a power behind it. He said, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat, M-E-A-T. Now, those words were very powerful. He was sending them into his harvest. And now, in his harvest, the people are supposed to take care of them. You're worthy of that. You're not begging. You're not going out there. If you are sent by God, God will not send you places where people will not take care of you. If he sends you one time, believe me, you won't go back again. At least they will. I think once in my lifetime, I remember going, a pastor had invited me to do a Mother's Day message in a city far away, and it was my birthday. And when I finished doing the message, it was on a Sunday afternoon, he said to me, "So where are you going to eat?" And I said, "I don't know. I'll probably find something." He said, "Good. I'll see you later." It was my birthday. It was Mother's Day. I had preached, and I ended up eating dinner alone in a restaurant by myself. But I didn't think much of it at the time until the Lord said, "You will never go back there again," because at least they could have invited me to dinner. Or they could have said, "We're going someplace else, but I've made arrangements for you to eat here. Or I've given you something to buy you some dinner." You see, God always takes care of the ones that he sends, okay? Are you saying God didn't send me there? Oh, he sent me there. But there was a test that lasted about nearly 2 years, because the pastor in that ministry had such a power that God wanted in that area. And he was sending me there to release it. And I was there with them. And there was a time when God said, "That's enough." And I don't know, that ministry died shortly after. I'm not sending it because of that. But God sends you. And he said, "You don't have to provide for yourself. You're worthy of your hire. Freely you have been given, freely give." But that does not mean that the people you're giving it to will treat you as though it's worth nothing. And then he says something else. He says here, "And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than in the day of judgment than for that city." Now, I want us to hear the words of the Lord, because this is like reading today's paper. I was sharing with someone. I always use myself as an example, not just because I think it's a good example of where the Lord carries me into places. For example, I spent about 7 to 10 years in Minneapolis, Minnesota. As a matter of fact, I started a school of ministry there. I graduated students up there. I ministered in a very strategic place there. And then when part of that died, and there was a reason for that, he moved me to another part of Minnesota, and I was there for years. And then there were years that I spent in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, with a group, different groups, but in smaller groups. Then I stayed there for years. And usually when he closes down, it's not that there's anything wrong. I've just done what I'm told to do there. I don't have anyone in that area. Either I don't go back to that area. I was in Minneapolis for a number of years. I was in Milwaukee for a number of years. I was in Chicago for a number of years. And then from Chicago, I am now in Indiana, and I was in Atlanta for a number. But I would go for maybe 3 to 5 years, and I would pour out, and there would be strategic people and strategic places. And when the time comes, he would just move into another place. Sometimes the movement was because I've established what I need to establish. I poured out all I need to pour out, or the people there have not Like he says here, the ones who will not receive your word when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust off of your feet. These words are very real when you have been set by God, when you have been a learner, a disciple, and you have been set by God. Don't be weary. And the one thing I want to say to our young ministers that are going out, when you go out, you're not going out to make a reputation for yourself. You're not going out to tell them the great things that you've learned, the things that you want to teach. You're going out to take a message that is going to establish the people. You're going out to take the message. See, what when Jesus said to his disciples, he said, don't go here. You may have so many people calling you to come and preach there because they know you've been well trained here, and you want to go because you want to show off what you got. You'll be dead in less than 10 years. When I say dead, I don't mean physically dead. Your ministry will be dead because you're not. If they had gone into Samaria, they had gone to the way of the Gentiles, he would have soon cut them off because they would have been going where they want to go to show off. You never go to show off. You find out what are you going to release for the people to rise up on. Your love for the people is so great that you don't want to teach them great things that they can't do. You want to give them something that they can do. You know, sometime I mention the books I've written. I've written so many of them. When I mention them, people get laugh about it. And I say, oh, by the way, I wrote a book. But the Lord taught me that early on. When I go out, there's a purpose. If it is to establish intercessors, I go out and I try to minister on that in such a way that they can see that they're called to the ministry of intercession and it's easy for them to step into it. If I go out to establish a pastor, a church, I try to, but whatever I do, I've written a book that although they feel the call, there it is on paper that you can pick up this book, take it home with you, and everything is clearly written. You don't need to follow it exactly, but it gives you a point of contact so that you know that this word that you heard, and it should be a word that burns your heart, that I want to be a family priest intercessor. I know that I'm called to be an intercessor. I know the Lord has given me an apostolic calling, but I don't know what to do about it. I know that I have a kingdom ministry, and I know the Lord has said this. When I go out, I want to ignite that in that person. I want to ignite it in the body so people will want it, and I want to leave a clear message that this is a call for you and you can do it. And then I will have a book. You see, I don't go out just to give them a message because I've learned it or something I've heard from someone else or something that I think God is saying to me. He may be saying it to you for you to rise up on it for yourself. Why are you going to mentor these people? And please don't go out in full pride that you're somebody great and they need you and need your message because you have this new message. That's pride. You go out, but like he's sending these disciples, he said, when you go, preach this. Don't go there, but preach this. And then he also tells them, he says this. He says, don't take any money with you. Let them take care of you because you're worthy of your hire. And then he goes on to say something else. When you come into a house, you want to see who's worthy. Salute it. Be very generous. Be very cautious. Not only cautious, you want to have good manners. Just because you're invited, that doesn't make you come in making demands. You want to go in and be very, salute it means that you're going to be gracious. And you know, some people say, well, I don't eat this, I don't eat that. Listen, if they put something in front of you, eat it. You know, sometimes people are gracious enough to say, do you eat, what do you eat? I'll say, whatever you put in front of me, I'll eat it. It may not be something I'll eat every day, but I can eat it with you today. If I can't eat all of it, I'll eat some of it. I don't eat a lot of sweets, but if you give me some cake, I'll show you a piece of it. If you give me a piece of pie, I don't like to, I can live forever without eating a piece of pie, but I'll show you eat it, and it'll taste good while I'm sitting there with you. You see, the Lord wants us to be holy. He doesn't want, when he sends out an apostle, he's not sending out someone to make a show for themselves. Now, here's something else he says, and I just love this word. He said, whoever shall not receive you, now hear your words. When you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust. That means you don't have to go back again. You don't have to be upset because they didn't receive you. All you need to do is God sent you, you gave them the word. I believe that this is a great lesson for today. It is so many people that don't know this lesson, but at the same time, God is sending so many people. He said, pray ye, the harvest is plenteous. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I think we all need to start praying that now. And then he tells them something as, behold. Now, you see, the reason he had to pray to his father, not only did he had to pray to find out who was going to be obedient, but he was going to have to give, they had to have another attribute that every minister may not have. People who get excited about the ministry don't know the kinds of things that you're going to have to face. But Jesus warns his disciples. Here's what he said. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the council, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought now of what ye shall speak of, for it will be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaks in you. Now, don't you know that they had to have an impartation from God to literally obey this? You might say this to someone, and they don't really know. They're so excited about being in the ministry, they really don't hear you. They don't hear that you are going in as a sheep in the midst of wolves, which means that the wolves will tear the sheep apart. They will destroy you if you don't know who you are and you hadn't been sent by God with an impartation from heaven to stand it. Be ye therefore wise as serpents. And what happens, the reason the authority must go and pray the Lord of the harvest, because you don't know that the ones you think that can preach good and pray good and have done some mighty things, they may not be able to stand the wolves. And when God sends them out, he wants them to be able to stand the wolves. And he wants them to be able to be brought before kings and for his sake. And they will not, and they will be able to obey what they're given to say. Some might have some of the attributes, but not all of it. And that's why he had to pray to his father who to send. And that's why he said, pray the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. He knew what they were going to go into because he knew the kind of people that would act as wolves. And if you believe that you will not be torn apart by people who don't know who you are and that you're sent, and it's not because they don't know, they just may not be ready to hear the word. That's why he said, if they don't hear your word, then shake off the dust. But you'll go, and sometime you will be attacked because of the word that you're speaking. And the attack is nothing to do with who you are. It has to do with the fact that the person hearing may not want to hear your word. They may not be ready for that. And you think that's saying that lightly. I hope you won't have to have the experience when there's nothing that they can come against you for, except that they're just not ready. And I've had them to tell me that. I was so amazed. I had one sweet lady from a certain city, and I used to go down and preach in that church all the time. And in my conference this past year when we had our territorial conference, this sweet lady came, and she got down on her knees in front of me, and she said, I want to ask you to please forgive me. She said, I want to tell you something. When you used to come down and preach for us, she said, I hated you. I hated for you to come. I didn't want to hear you. She said, what I was doing at that time, I wasn't ready to quit it. And she said, I was so glad when you stopped coming. And she said, I want you to please forgive me because I love you and I really am ready now to enter into what you were preaching at that time. And she's been very faithful since that time. But it wasn't because I was doing anything wrong. It was because the message that I had for them at that time was not a hard message. It's just that, as she said, I wasn't ready for it at that time. And so the Lord wants, and you know, if that happens to you and someone rejects you that way, if God hasn't sent you and he hasn't established in you a power to obey him and you're not going out to make a reputation for yourself, or you're not going out to be proud, you know, Miss Prima Donna. A lot of prima donnas are out there. I guess that's what you call them. I want to be so beautiful and pretty and want everybody to cater to them and do this. And I love that. Do that for me. But if you don't do that for me, I can do it for myself. That is not why I'm here. I'm here because I am sent by God. An apostle is sent to take a message and open the way for the king to put things in order so he can come in and do work. And when you are sent, you are sent to the harvest of that one who sent you. And he must be able to tell you what to do. And you will not choose it. See, a lot of time, people choose the minister according to the needs of the people, according to that one needs healing. I've seen some of my most sainted people giving worldly people the message of the kingdom when they haven't even entered into the first message of the kingdom to receive Jesus. But they're telling them how to deal with healing, and they're telling them how to do this to get healed, and they're telling them this, and this kingdom has not even touched their lives yet. Well, Jesus gives us a great example because he began to tell us what you're going to face. Look at verse 21. It says, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in the city, flee into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. And he's saying the same thing to the church today. He is saying to us, you need to be prepared. If he calls you to, see, a lot of people want to do work for the Lord, but they don't want to be called by the Lord to the harvest of the Lord. They want to do the work that makes them feel good for themselves, make them popular, make the people say that they're doing a good job. I think this message brings to us is to be very careful that we take some time out and pray the Lord of the harvest and see where he is sending us. Every place he's sending us, we will know it if we are committed to him, that we are the ones that he prayed to the Father to send. And we have been given the impartation and the power to send. When we first started our school of ministry, and everyone at that time had to literally write a thesis, and they were giving a bachelor's or master's, but they were supposed to take the message of the kingdom that I'd spent my life writing on and establish prayer ministries around the world and establish kingdom ministers. I even questioned the Lord before he gave me the assignment. I said, Lord, I know how strongly you feel about churches, and if this person then is really going to take the message and for prayer, to raise up a prayer group in their home, in their offices, and in places where they can bring them all together, what will that do for the church? He said it will help the church to be stronger, because what you've written is going to bring the people into healing. It's going to bring them into salvation. It's going to bring them into understanding my church. It's going to bring them to me. And he said they will become better members of every church. He said, so I'm giving you an assignment to establish. So everyone graduating should have take this message and establish the kingdom in prayer groups, maybe 5, maybe 10, maybe 15, because everything was written so clearly. For years, we had people wanting to write theses about what they knew, what they brought in. We had others who were afraid to mobilize a few people to come to prayer. We had others who could not mobilize a few people, and the reason they could not is because they didn't enter in the material for themselves, like they didn't become learners, so that they could become apostles. The apostles are sent. So they would be sent out to establish, and they were not sent out to raise up churches and ministers, but to just raise up prayer groups to establish people in prayer, bring them into healing, bring them into deliverance. Every one of my books talked about it. So you see, when Jesus started with his disciples, he prayed to his father. I remember there was a year, we have our school ministry for so many years, and as I was telling someone the other day, we've had levels of students and different students. For years, the Lord stopped me from reading my students' papers, and I couldn't figure out. I'm a teacher. I'm a professor. Why aren't you letting me read the papers? Because if I read their papers and give them feedback, they could do better. And I didn't know what it was. He just had me to, sometimes he'd have me to give it back to them, and sometimes he would keep it. And this was some years ago. And then one day he told me, why would you read it? It's not what you're teaching. It's not what they're here for. They're writing you something that they're coming up with from what they already know. And so then I began to see my problem was to say and make it more clearly why they were here. And so this lesson that the Lord is teaching us in Matthew crisscrosses so many things. And he wants to warn us about how we're going to be treated, and he wants to warn us about not to get so high and look at Jesus. Listen to what he says in verse 24. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. Is it not for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord? If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, that speak you in the light, and what you hear in the ear, that preach you upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear them which is able to destroy both his soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your father, but the very hair of your head are all numbered. You see, if you listen to what Jesus is telling the disciples and the apostles, he's not only telling, he's warning them. But to them it's not a warning. And to us it shouldn't be a warning. It should be a lesson. It should be a direction. It should be an assignment. Listen, fear not those. And that's why he goes to the Father and prays. That's why we need to pray for the people we release into the ministry, because they may have lots of good qualities. They may be good learners, but they may not be able to stand the test of being an apostle, because an apostle goes out with a call on his head, but also with death, with a bounty on his head. He goes out where the enemy is out to get him, and he goes out where he will be stopped by the very people he sent to establish, because they're the ones that can do the killing. He said, fear not those that can kill the body, because if you fear them, you will come short of falling through what the Lord is calling you to do. I'll tell you, this message, I think, is so for leaders. It is so for others who've been given the authority to release people. But it's true for those who are preparing for leadership, are preparing to do the harvest. It's for believers. It's for all of us. I haven't finished it. I was hoping I'd get through chapter 10 tonight. But I want to admonish all of you to read through those verses for yourself. If you have a call on your life, stop doing it by rote and stop doing it just like you've been doing it. You want an assignment from God, because that assignment comes with an impartation, a power to fulfill. You need that assignment to come from someone. See, Jesus could have easily called the disciples and the apostles and sent them, but he went to the Father first, but he had the authority to do it. But he went to the Father. The Father sent him to the earth to send the apostles. He has already got somebody that he has sent to send the apostles. He didn't send you just to be forever a learner so that you can go out and do it. You need to be a learner so that you can be the kind of learner that the Lord can see that he can send you into his harvest. Then the one who is sending you should come to the Lord of the harvest to pray to see who to send. I remember Elder Frieda teaches our Bible study on Thursday night at the Sanctuary of the Firstborn, and she's been teaching the book of John, and I went in just one night because I don't go into their Bible study because I'm doing something else. But the lesson that night was when it is in the book of John, when Jesus did not commit himself to man because he knew what was in man. And it says a lot for us who are called, because the words that Jesus is saying here in Matthew, if you commit yourself to man, it may cause you not to be obedient to what he's calling us to do when he sends us into his harvest. I guess I got to stop here tonight. It seems like my time is out. I didn't mean to preach tonight. Did I preach tonight? I think I did. But this message was so meaningful to me, and it has been so important for where we are, that we need to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying for the church and to the church. That's the theme of this program. And listen very carefully to what he's saying to us. Because as we hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church, it is written so clearly here in Matthew, until it's almost like Jesus' boots on the ground in our prayer time, in our house, in our cars, wherever we go. And as we come on, we're going to finish this chapter on Sunday evening. We'll be back with you on Sunday evening, 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. And, you know, I don't often open the airwaves for people to respond. We can open it. We have an open mic that we can open any time. But I pray that someone is getting something out of this, that you will see things around, you will hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church and for the church, and saying, and also listen very carefully to what he's saying to you. I don't know, there may be a time when we'll discuss this. I don't know whether this is a topic for discussion or not, whether people have an opinion about it. I just may be in this area with my own opinion. I don't know what's my opinion. I'm hearing what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to me. He's saying to the church in this chapter, and what he's saying to me, to listen very carefully, so you will pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into his harvest. That's a special word that I think, and it calls for all of us to come back to prayer, that we will pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into his harvest. And he gives us a good example of what happens when that happens. So we bless you tonight in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. We thank you so much. I'm just so excited I can't even call God's name correctly. But we bless you in the name of Jesus, who's able to make all grace abound toward you, that you can have all sufficiency for all things in every good work. We pray that you will let the Spirit, let God arise, and let his enemies be scattered where you are, and let God speak peace to your heart. We pray that the Lord will give you, will call you to prayer for the Lord of the harvest, that the harvest is plenteous out there, but the laborers are few. We have a lot of people going out to do God's work, have a lot of people going out to meet the needs of the people. There are people who need healing. There are people who need deliverance. There are people who need prayer. There are people who got all kinds of issues going on in their lives, and they want somebody to pray. But God has a harvest, and he's the Lord of the harvest, and he calls us to pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into his harvest. And you might even pray, if you're the one to be a laborer to be sent into his harvest, then pray that the Lord will prepare you to be sent into his harvest, just as he prepared the disciples and he prayed for the apostles that he was going to send. Let's pray that he'll do the same for us. May the Lord bless you tonight. I bless you in the name of Jesus, who's able to make all grace abound toward you, that you can have all sufficiency for all things and every good work. And we will see you again on Sunday evening, same time. We will be here again on Sunday evening, same time, 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. And we'll be glad to, if you have a word that you want to respond to the message, you can always send a word to me at my email, P as in Pretty Girl, H is in Heaven, H is in Heaven, P-H Hewing, H-E-W-I-N-G, that's two H's, at yahoo.com. We'll be glad to respond to that, and we will pray for you that the Lord, by his Spirit, will make you ready to be the one that he can send into his harvest. May the Lord bless you tonight, and we say good night.